Abani Gani, everyone. This is Professor Amin Ra, Professor Emeritus, California State University of Long Beach, Africana Studies Department, former city councilman for the city of Compton, former Compton College Board of Trustees, and Compton Unified School District Board of Trustees. We want to welcome you here to Conscious Corner. We got some very serious subjects to discuss this evening, in which I'm going to try to get a flavor of understanding by myself and by the panel of these clauses and how they're applicable to us. We're in dangerous and challenging times. And we as a people, as John Henry Clark would always say, many of our people now are naive to what's really happening around them for various reasons. Oppression, Queen Mother Moore called it oppression psychoneurosis, whereas your psychology don't allow you to have the awareness of your danger and the challenges you face as a people because of your oppression. Sometimes you think it's natural to be oppressed. Queen Mother Moore, who was a Garveyite. So we're going to get into these subject matters along with others that we find to be very necessary in these challenging times as we watch people being deported, as we watch people being victims of genocide, and United States' role in both of those dehumanizing and human destruction experiences that we're going through. But first of all, I want to say welcome again. And we want to thank Brother Rashiki Maskani for his just commitment to making sure these programs come on out of his own pocket and his commitment to keep the Conscious Corner and the Community Education Network program, which is on Wednesday, going. We want to thank this brother for his commitment and sacrifice and his just his love for educating the people and his consciousness. We want to welcome Brother Mashinda, who's from Louisiana, where they have been sending some of the people being deported. And Brother Ahi out of Detroit, where also they are facing challenging issues in the city of Detroit with regards to these oppression aspects of the United States of America under this new regime. First of all, I want to say this, that a lot of people focus on Trump, and rightfully they should, but they should be focusing on the people that's supporting him and providing him the apparatus to do what he do. It's okay to mention Trump, that's what you want to do, but too much focus is on Trump. He couldn't do the things he's doing without us compromising the Supreme Court, compromising Congress, and compromising the Democratic Party as an opposition force. And so we have to look at that's very important, because most people think this is all Trump, this Trump, this Trump, that. He couldn't do none of these things if the other branches of government and rightfully minded people would stand up and challenge him, because the power is always with the people. That was our battle cry in the 60s, power to the people, public enemy, power to the people. And the people, they rise up, not just in demonstrations, but vote consciously, repeal, or what they call impeach, other things that they could do to bring down the Trump administration. As he's trying to attack every institution, from the media to the education to the economics to the judicial, even arrested, getting a judge arrested by his Justice Department. You know, judges can't arrest you. They can order you to be arrested. But if the police or state police don't arrest you, that's why they call them the law enforcement. They're all a part of the jurisprudence system. You have to have people to enforce the law, because you call for somebody to be arrested don't mean they're going to be arrested. And even that's the case with judges. And then when you give Donald Trump all the immunity, that he's immune as long as he say it's part of his executive duties, presidential duties, then, you know, he's immune, as well as he can pardon and have pardoned people that have broken laws, and no one is even mentioning that anymore, you know. And himself, a 39 counts of convictions that he carried. So they've always glorified crime. That's why The Godfather was an Academy Award movie, and other violent movies from The Wild Bunch and horror movies winning awards, and even making, and when they come down to us, they made Snoop Dogg the most influential, one of the most influential people in America. Now, how could a person choose your leaders for you? And I take a poll of just this panel and ask them, does Snoop Dogg influence you? So how could he be an influencer? He must be talking about he's the major influence to white people, because he did support Trump, and he did, he's one of them billionaires or multimillionaires that looking for tax breaks. So maybe that's the issue. I'm not sure. But anyway, we want to get into it. First of all, I want to just say again how thankful I am for Brother Mashinda and Brother Ahib for being so consistent. And without the people coming in and listening and being participants of this panel, we couldn't do none of these things without their wealth of wisdom, their wealth of experience, and their commitment to coming on the shows and participating so we can have meaningful discussions. We want to give praise and thanks to them. But anyway, let me get back to this point. First of all, we look at what the Trump administration and MAGA movement is doing with the Enemy Alien Act. If Rashi Key will pull that up, this gives the president or the country the power to deport or even sometimes imprison people that they declare as an enemy of the state who they supposed to be at war with. For every law, there's an exception. I want you to understand, even though they say no person's supposed to be above the law, we've witnessed that that's not true. And it's not just with powerful people. Sometimes, Trump let all the people that participated in the destruction of the White House, gave them immunity, over 200 or 300 people. And that's very important, that went into the White House and messed all over it, tore it up, threatened people, and things of that nature. So it's very important. But anyway, Brother Rochke has just pulled up and sharing the screen, in the 14th Amendment, all persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and of the state within they reside. No state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge the privileges or immunities of citizens of the United States, nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. Now, that's what that said, due process of law. That's a very critical statement. Nor deny to any person within its jurisdiction the equal protection of the law. And we know that the law, they have used the law to justify the cruel and unusual treatment of African people. They passed what they call runaway slave laws and things. And they, at the time that this was written, this is when we as African people had gotten our liberation from chattel slavery. And it set the basis for us to become citizens, because they had all these Africans here, and they turned them loose, and they were sometimes third generational from the Africans that came here. And so it wasn't like they could just deport them back to a country and don't know what country that they were from or ethnic group they were from in America. And second, many of them were mixed with Native American. Many of the Africans were mixed with Native American, white people, and Asians that were here through miscegenation. So, you know, it's hard to say that you could deport them and not know where they were. So that clause was specifically for Black people to become citizens in the United States. That's how we transitioned from the Holocaust of enslavement to being United States citizens. They passed this amendment, which was very important. And so what we're seeing now is the Trump administration saying that they want to get rid of that clause and don't respect that clause and change it. And they are changing it. There's two ways. There's jurist laws, which are based upon the Congress and being passed as a bill and instituted through Congress and the Senate and the President signing. That's the jurist law, jurisprudence. And then there's de facto. De facto is that even though it custom means it's customary, or that it's not about the jurisprudence, that this is just a custom or cultural apparatus that allows them to abuse people based upon tradition. And you got to understand that at the time that this was passed, that we still was having challenges voting. We still was having challenging with people hanging and lynching. We still was having problems with owning property, and we still was having problems just living in this country by ourselves. They had hate groups throughout our history here based upon race. And so you got to understand that. And as John Henry Clark, I would always say, the naivete of us as a people is what really holds us up a lot. And so what we're talking about, we can argue that we were born here, but many of the Latinos, they just shipped some babies out of this country who was born here. So the laws, when I say exceptional, they can do what they want to do and justify it. There's supposed to be a law against genocide, but you see Israel is doing it toward the Palestinians. Supposed to be a law against denying people the right to vote, but they still haven't. Voter suppression, manipulation, and intimidation practiced today. So what I'm trying to say is that sometimes the European think that because he make the law, it don't apply to him. And in many ways, it don't. You look at what's going on in the administration of the Trump regime. A bunch of lawbreakers are running the country, and that's very important. But pay attention to this, what they call this 14th Amendment clause, which was an amendment to the 14th Amendment, What you got to remember is, as Joe Hinrich would always say, the illusion of inclusion. And you think that because this is in black and white and in the Constitution that you protect it. Well, it's supposed to be laws against killing, but that ain't stop people from killing. It's supposed to be law against redlining and loans and all that's what that says in there. But you know people do it and they get away with it. And so what I'm saying to you is we as an African people must look at these documents and understand how we can get around them and protect ourselves from these type of struggles. I know about repatriation. Some people say we should go back to Africa, but it's very hard for people to make that type of transition unless they're forced over there, like they forced us here. They forced us back there and can care less. And they're taking people to El Salvador who weren't even from El Salvador and had a law against sending them back to El Salvador. And I'm just, when I said there's dangerous and challenging times and critical times, we must begin to educate our people and teach them to wake up, like a petty, like a Harold and the Bruno say, wake up everybody, no more sleeping in bed, no more backwards thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so much, very much from what it used to be. So much hatred, war and poverty, and our people are acting like, because of the euphoria of America that offers you euphoria for your money. Euphoria is not free. What I mean by that, you know, you go spend your money at the amusement parks, you buy all their clothes, you buy their tattoos, you buy things that they sell you, cigarettes, and you eat what they eat instead of having your own cultural dynamic, which we'll get to later. But that's very important about that 14th Amendment. One, we should educate our people that even though we're citizens in this country, according to this amendment, that don't make us citizens, they can declare us foreign-born because of our ancestralship, or they can just say, "Hey, look, you're not a citizen." We all that do is pass a, like they pass a law making us a citizen. They can pick a law, pass a law saying you're not a citizen, and our people are naive to think that they won't do it. You know, and that's because they have been they have fallen in a sense of admiration of the European. Even when you're doing wrong, they admire. You know, and so it's very important for us to educate. So before we go any further, Brother Ahi, you there? You on mute.
Yes, sir, brother.
What
I
you,
am.
What you
Professor
think about
Rye,
this?
How are you?
Yeah, what you think about what's been said so far?
Well, brother, I think that you put everything on. You were very accurate with what you have to say. And yes, we were here and we're legally citizens, but are we Americans? I hardly think so. And what happened to us thinking about having our own? Why aren't we thinking about determining what our own destiny is? We've already come to the conclusion that we're never going to have equality with these people. Those folks are determined to, at every turn, whatever type of progress we make, trying to become American-like. The citizens have a problem with it. They burn, they hang, they loot, and then they acquire the very land and stuff in which black people decide pour themselves up with their bootstraps, because Lord knows they didn't have no help doing it. So are we so in love with these white folk that even though we know we'll never have a fair shot or equality under their rule and jurisdiction, that we rather deal with them than take a shot on ourselves. It's happening all over the world. Other people of African descent, aren't we supposed to be some of the most educated folk? Aren't we supposed to have the skills necessary to do that? Even though when we attempt it over and over again, our forefathers and ancestors are murdered for it. Why shouldn't we try and do it on ourselves? Are we that brainwashed? Yes, we are. That we'd rather be there with these heathens and be up under their jurisdiction because we don't believe that we can do it by ourselves. They did a good job of educate or miseducating us.
The only thing, you left out the people that are still struggling against them. Struggle is the key. You're right, they're not going to just do right. You either reward or punish people to get them to do right. Sometimes you have to whip your kids to get them to do right at one time. Sometimes you have to give them money and incentives to do right. You get an A, I'll give you $20, and you get people to do right. But at the same time, never think that the struggle is not continued. So one of the apparatuses to prepare ourselves in case they say that they want to deport us because they don't see us as citizens, like they're doing some of the Latinos. We're naive to think that they won't do us the same. If they deporting Latino Americans, then they can deport African Americans. And don't forget, Eldridge Cleaver, Huey Newton, Assata Shakur, all had to leave this country.
Yes.
Because they ran them out the country because they were going to take them to prison on trumped up charges and then have them assassinated. And so you have to look at that reality. So one of the apparatuses is to have a victorious attitude and prepare yourself in case things go even wilder than what they are. And what that is, you have to, as Malcolm said, think. But Malcolm also said, I'm not a American, and I'm not a Republican, I'm not a Democrat, I'm not an American, and I got sense enough to know it. I'm in America, in this country that they have renamed and took from the Native American. I'm here, and I'm just trying to live. So your struggle is not to be American. The struggle is to be free, and you can make your own choice. I mean, that people make their own choices, you can have kids, and you can start getting them baptized when they're Christian and baptized when they're babies, or you can leave them and let them make their own decision when they get grown. But most people are evangelism. They take their kids and get Christian. When we're here and they give us a birth certificate, that birth certificate is what established your citizenship. Born in America, and that's very important for you to know. And you should always keep one thing: a copy of your birth certificate. You never know when you're gonna need it. Keep it in a safe place. If you don't have one, try to get one. Or get a record of where yours was. Second, you should always prepare for struggle by any means necessary, intellectually as well as physically, to defend your life, as Malcolm would say. If someone come to kill you, you need to send them to the cemetery before they send you to the cemetery. So you have to have that type of mentality, but we don't. We have to educate people to the consciousness and the reality of some of our people to that. There are groups that are doing this. They're preparing. It's like when the coronavirus came out, people were buying food and stocking it. When they thought the world was going in 2000 summer, and then people got water and stored it. Well, you should be doing that now because you should have a military mentality And you must teach your children where they are and have them with a different attitude. They go to school sometimes just to be seen, outdress people. They got an audience, so sometimes they want to perform and act up in school just for attention. But if they have a right mentality, they'd understand that they're going there to get something that they could use to provide for their family and themselves and their growth and development while they're still here and struggle to be that. And that's very important. Brother Mashinda, you there?
Yes, sir.
You know, they
Excuse me,
send some deep.
if
Go
I
ahead. Go.
if I could say something before Brother Mashinda says something, in response to that, Professor Rye, we also have to understand, also along with that list of preparing for them to dispel us from this country or whatever, is that our forefathers and our ancestors made this country for what it was, and our leaders who sacrificed their lives and everything else, we have to get to the point of saying, well, if you got nothing to live for, you got nothing to die for. And all the blood and the tears and the lives that were shed over this country and the wealth of this country for 300 years, being the number one textile in the world. You're right, we need to learn how to defend ourselves because even though I know I've been to some places around the world and I know we'd be very well off. We could do like places where the other sun shines. Brother Barry turned me on to a song with other places where other sun shines. We better be ready to kill to stay here.
And you're gonna have to
And
struggle to
if and
get
if and
it.
if and if and if and if the choice is to die here or to live with them expelling us, then we better get to the point where we're ready to die here.
Well, see, he as a human being on this earth, you have the right to live wherever you want to live, free of being hurt or misused. It's not about Europeans saying, this is my country and this is my state and this is this. That's him just doing that from a military standpoint. The earth belongs to everybody. That's why the earth spins and goes around. The sun don't circle the earth. The earth circles the sun. So, you know, you see, a liberational thinking or victorious thinking lets you know reality from people just making their own reality. You understand? Versus nature, as many of our people come up here and talk about nutrition and health. You know, it's a choice for people to do that. And it's a choice for people to do other things, but at the same time, you want to have that right wherever you are, and so your preparation is to make the best of where you're living. And we live here, and there's a struggle. If they don't want you to leave, you know, they were Back to Africa movements, repatriation move, Arab land, Biden, Garvey didn't really wanted us to go back to Africa. He wanted us to develop companies and corporations and businesses. That's why they destroyed him. He never went to Africa. He was talking about going there to start businesses and corporations that employ and be self-determined. He talking about industry, you know, and what I'm saying to you're right about, you know, what the enemy's gonna do to stop you and try to stop you. But that's why you have a brain to get around it. If you know that's what they're doing. You know, half the young people today, they get discriminated against. They don't even think it's discrimination. They just think, oh, well, I just didn't get the job. I just didn't get in school. They don't understand that there's still racial. I didn't get the house. Somebody outbidded me. And you don't even know what they bid. And so you,
Counter-racist codes,
yeah.
Neely Fuller Jr.
Yeah.
So he said the whole earth is in the system of white supremacy, racism. So you come up with counter-racist codes to, you know, alleviate.
Yeah, but that's surrendering and saying that they control everything. You're giving them too much credit. That's why people that resist, like Cuba, Cuba sacrificed. They're cutting off the water. They're cutting off the electricity all during the day, every day. But they won't submit to America. And they're just 90 miles away. And America don't want that example of that resilience of struggle, that there are other ways to live other than what they're saying. That's what they're doing with this with these tariffs, with China, India, some African countries, and some European countries are talking about starting their own currency so that the European can't. So right now, most people do business with the American dollar. But if you come up with another economic system, that takes away their power. And that means that they can't say, we're gonna put a sanctions against you. You can't sanction people unless you have the power to sanction them. And you sanction them by denying them access to trade and economics. And if you got another economic system that they don't control, they can't sanction you. You understand? That's why.
And they got numbers too, Professor. And they got the numbers too. They got the numbers.
What do you
talk
mean?
You talk about China and Africa. They got the numbers compared to America with the American dollars. They got the numbers for that.
Yeah, but see, at the same time, it comes. China got the nuclear bomb. And China got almost a billion soldiers and things of this nature. So that's a different game there. That's why they had a cultural revolution. Remember that. They built the wall. They wouldn't let nobody in until they revitalized themselves and cleaned themselves up from foreign invasion. They fought four wars to bring drugs into China. But once they had the cultural revolution, they kicked all them Europeans out. All the British out. And you can't become a citizen in China. See, they won't let you become a citizen. I don't care if you're born there. You understand? They have a different cultural system of what being Chinese. And the same thing with other small countries, you know. But my point to you, you're correct in many ways about the numbers. And about economics and the richnesses of and the minerals in these countries, but at the same time, you got to have people that value them, and you got to be able to control them, control those minerals, and control those resources to the point that you can market them and turn them in to apparatus that can help you serve your people. Many times the corruption on the continent is one of the biggest challenges we have. Yes. But we'll get back to that. Brother Mashinda?
Yes, sir.
What do you think about this?
Well, I think everybody's raising some great points. You know, I agree. I mean, we wouldn't be having this conversation tonight if the struggle didn't continue. You know, this is part of the struggle, trying to educate the masses, you know, share ideas, information, so we could take it back to, you know, our constituencies, you know, people that we deal with on a daily basis, you know, something that I do. But what I find out, the level of ignorance, and I spoke on this on numerous occasions on different podcasts when we meet, that the level of ignorance is so prevalent, so rampant, that and it's intentional, you know, it's a design, you know, our school systems, you know, the whole design is flawed, and so it's basically stunting the growth of their mindsets and understanding what's going on. So I appreciate, you know, everybody that comes on tonight that gives their input. You know, one thing about this thing you were talking about, the immigration, you know, Donald Trump is a businessman. You know, he wants to rule the world. You know, he wants to buy up everything. It's evident in his brand, you know, Trump planes and towers and all these other things. So they, you know, it's a play, you know, back in what, World War II, you know, the Japanese relocation centers, you know, better known as internment camps. You know, they, when, you know, they, it was a war going on, and they start scooping them up. And not only did they scoop up, you know, foreigners, they scooped up Japanese Americans as well, dogged them out. And you know, Ronald Reagan got in office, you know, later on, and kind of got some money, got them 20,000 apiece, you know, say, oh, that was, we dogged them out. Here's 20 grand apiece, you know, to, we acknowledge what we did to you guys. You guys were Japanese Americans. That wasn't right, you know, trying to clean it up. You know, that was probably forced through some other channels, you know, legislatures and things like that. I don't know how he was forced to do that, because I don't think he was in love with people like that. But at the end of the day, you know, there's, you know, they look, I think, from an economic standpoint, to forge the relationship with Japan, and because it's all about economics. And you know, these, you talked about in Louisiana, they have 9 detention facilities here in Louisiana that are very active. You know, they can hold up to 6,000 people. This is the, you know, they have the second largest detention network in the country, next to Texas, Louisiana, old slave state, both of them, you know. So nothing new under the sun. These folks, it's kind of like a volcano. You know, they go dormant a little while, then they start erupting. And so here it is, they're erupting. And so you have right outside of Baton Rouge, a little area called Basile, about 90 miles out of Baton Rouge. They got facilities out there. You know, they got, you know, a company called, what is it called? GEO Group, the GEO Group. Check out the GEO Group. You can buy stock. Matter of fact, this stock is running at about, you know, $30 a share right now. The GEO Group, you know, is they're contracted with the federal government and the Customs Enforcement, you know, the ICE, you know, and they get these. It's a multi-billion-dollar company. Then they have what they run 4 facilities in Louisiana. So they all getting a piece of the pie. They're generating money, just like slavery was an economic thing. You know, yeah, they dogged us out, but hey, it was all about getting paid. It was about industry. They just used us as, you know, we were just chattel, you know, and part of the game. So that's all they're doing. It's from the old playbook. You know, the blueprint is you know, kind of new and improved and revamped and put back out there on a regular basis. So while we asleep at the wheel, they getting down with it, you know. So, hey, but I won't give up, you know. I won't give up, you know. I hope we don't. You have to die for, you know, this or that or the third. But, you know, it's real, you know, it's real. And so this is nothing new under the sun. You know, all these alien sedition acts and all these executive orders that these presidents have invoked over the years as it pertains to this subject matter. Hey. It's well documented. So, but they're trying, they don't want it to be talked about in the schools. You know, they don't want, you know, the universities to even talk about it. You know, they'll lose federal funding. Harvard is under duress, but they got big money. So Harvard ain't worried about the food. But, you know, so we had war. It's a war, you know, a war on ignorance, and it's a war, you know, against evil. And but that's my take on it for the moment.
Yeah, but I don't think the people are stupid. I just think they're naive, as John Henry Clark would say.
No,
because ignorant. They're miseducated, and at the same time they're acculturated. Acculturated means you're absorbed in someone else's culture, and when you're absorbed in someone else's culture, you see the world the way they see it, and that's why many of our young people go out and hustle their own people and sell drugs to them and try to build a beautiful life off of the money that they sell. Because it's about, like you said, it's all about money. Slavery was not just about money, of course, that was their goal. But they did a lot of other stuff during the Holocaust of enslavement to the dehumanization, the acculturation, the rape, the maiming, the breeding farms, and the death through intimidation. And through, I think that's why it's a misnomer to say the slave trade. How you gonna reduce what they did to, oh, they were just doing business. It was a trade. That's them putting that name on it. You have to have your own language. Even if it's just among your kids and certain people that you are invested in and invested in you, then you have these discussions, because that's why Masonry, Freemasonry, and other forms of secret societies, the North Star, they had special teachings. You know, you had to be a member. How you get to be third degree and all that type of stuff. You get a special education. And we need a special education for our people. And so that they don't just be learning from one source, as you pointed out so eloquently. And from that standpoint, I agree with everything you say. I'm just putting it in a perspective so that you see that as Queen Mother say, oppression cycle neurosis is very critical from that standpoint. You know, when you control the mind, you control the body. Wherever your body is, that's where your mind took it. Your arm don't operate by itself. Your mind tell your arm to lift and do this and do that, from your feet all the way to your seeing, hearing. That's a part of your brain. And that's why Donnie Clark said, when someone say they love you with all their heart, tell them, hey, your heart just pumped blood. I want you to love me with your mind. And that's what we used to tell women in the old days. He got your mind. She got your mind. You understand? We call them henpeck or whatever. But, you know, I blew your mind. And that's what Dale Fonich used to say. Didn't I blow your mind this time? Didn't I? You know? So you got to understand the importance of the most critical weapon we got, as Malcolm said, the ability to think and to see things, even through the cobwebs of confusion and oppression and psychoneurosis. Some of our people did, some didn't. And some chose not to see and not to acknowledge it. Because oppression, man, like they said, pressure break our pipes. You understand? Everybody talking about, if I was back in slavery, I'd do this and do that. Well, it's easy to say that when you weren't back there. You understand? And so it's a whole new different thing. Brother McBride, you have any comments on what we're talking about? You on mute.
I'm just kind of taking it all in, because what our brother Ayi is saying is true. And I've been there like 87 years, and I've seen it. And even my dad told me when I was young, it's never going to really change, you know, much. It's going, you know, like the individuals, you can change your situation. But like overall, you know, the change is going to be slow, because you just don't have the numbers or the power or the economic, you know, thrust to really change things. You know, it's going to be a little at a time, and I'll probably never see it in my lifetime. And like the brother said, a lot of blacks, when you get in private conversations, they're kind of thinking just like you, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, but like openly, you would think, well, they stupid, they ain't paying attention. They paying attention. Mm-hmm. But, you know, but then the problem is, like you were saying about Garvey, you see our leaders that do try to do something, they figure out a way to get rid of them one way or the other. So I don't mm-hmm. know what the answer is. We just have to keep searching for that answer. Like Bob Marley saying, none but ourselves can free our minds, you know. So yeah. It just...
Yeah, well, the struggle is a long, protracted
struggle. Yeah, it's
struggle. A long and protracted struggle. And we have come a long way.
Right.
From the continent of Africa, struggling not to come here and getting killed on ships, thrown overboard. And same thing, once you got here, many ran away, many did things. And look where we are today. You understand? I mean, to say that there ain't going to be no change is to say that we're back in the Holocaust of enslavement. There is change. Yeah. It just came through struggle. Yeah. Martin Luther King's struggle was about law.
Yeah.
Malcolm X was about human rights. Yeah. And there's two different things. You see, the whole foundation of education is knowledge. Mm-hmm. And the foundation of knowledge is truth. And the foundation of truth is more truth, because truth is always changing. Yeah. What people believed years ago, you find out that's different. It's like when Rasha Key and other people come on talking about nutrition and health, it's like they're teaching a foreign language to some people and trying to tell them what to eat and what not to eat and what they could do to heal themselves and things of this nature. They don't want to hear that, some of them. You understand? But that don't mean what they're saying is not true, and that don't mean they should stop teaching, because some don't believe it. And some don't work on it. Everybody didn't want to participate in the Underground Railroad, but Harriet Tubman did it, and then nobody's tell on her for all them years. You understand? Yeah. So we have a mutual. We have some cooperation. We got to, you know, what the system do is make you think you don't have no victory, but we have plenty of victory. You understand? One of the victories over ourselves. Look, look, many of us, not all of us on the air, have went through a transformation from street brother, naive brother, to where we are today. You know, you come up around them brothers, may it be in Long Beach, Watts, Compton. You understand? Brothers used to shoot dice. You understand? They used to shoot pool. You understand? We used to be shoe shine people. We used to sell the jet and newspaper. We were newspaper boys on bicycle throwing newspapers. And now they don't even have newspapers. You understand? But I'm just saying that things change. And the system wants you to think that things ain't changing through your struggle, through your education. As you get wise, older, and you get more wiser. You have an appreciation, a better appreciation for life. You don't take the risk you took when you were young. Because why? Because you're wiser now. You drive slower. You know, you don't do nothing foolish, because you want to keep the time that you got doing righteous things. But it's like that. Rasha Key, you want to respond to what we've been talking about? You're on mute.
Yeah, well, you know, it's just a challenge for people to, you know, I sit back and I listen to a lot that's have been said, and I've been through a lot. And I always say, when I met Professor Ra, it was a life-changing agent. I got exposed to Bob Marley. That was life-changing. Got exposed to a few scholars, including Neely Fuller Jr. And these things, you place yourself in a position. They said you bring your children up in the way you would want them to go. And so once you get to a certain point in your life, you start, if you are able to control your thought process or add to your thought process, you put yourself in those type of environments so you can grow. We do the Community Education Network because it's an extension of what we've been learning. And so we want to keep it going. Professor Ross said we struggle. This is a part of the struggle. People have to start making choices that's going to benefit them. And so I'm just, you know, the best thing I can do is be an example. If I want people to change, I have to change. And I, you know, and what's that saying? Be the change that you want to see. And so I want people to be more educated. I want people to make better decisions. So I tend to do those things, try to make the best decisions to move forward, to live a constructive life. So I'm listening, and I'm always learning and taking what I could take from the lessons that are being told or being taught. And that's basically what's going on. If people paying attention, the lessons are always right in front of you. And then the choices is yours to do something about that. And then I know people have mental capacities or mental illnesses that keeps them from progressing. But, you know, once you, like they say for drug addicts, once you figure out that you're a drug addict, then you could do something about it. And that's the choice. Like, dang, I am a drug addict. Now, you still have a choice there. Either I'm gonna start doing something about it because I know that I'm that way and it's not productive, and you do something about it or not, or you continue to falter. So we have these constant crossroads. And when we come to those crossroads, we have to make the decision to go down the right path. And I just wanted to share something because I think it may help people. I don't know. It may. So let me share that. If I can find it. There it is. I just need to share it on the screen here. And I think it's pretty good. I got some validation that it was pretty good. So maybe in spare time, some folks could check it out. I just wrote this, and it's called Moral Compass. So it's on the website, and you go to Perspective Writings, and it's the second writing from the top. And it's basically saying that, you know, what are you trying to do with your life, and where are you going, and how, basically how you should be. You should be moral. So it's pretty interesting, I think. When you guys get time, check it out. It's not that long. That's how long it is. And hopefully other people, huh?
Moral Compass.
Moral Compass. It's under the Perspective Writing section, right here. Perspective Writings. So, you know.
And we encourage all y'all, if you wanted to write something, we'll put it up if it's Perspective.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, yeah. This is Community Education Network is an expanding thing. You know, we're expanding. It's a slow process, but we are. We're affiliated with different podcasts. And we have extended podcasts, and it's all educational. So, you know, we even got sports now. But I just wanted to say something. But I'm appreciative of all of these lessons that's being taught on a consistent basis. Matter of fact, on a weekly basis, we're in school basically on the Community Education Network twice a week. We average 2 shows a week. So we have more at times. So I'm enjoying this. I don't see anything better than developing your mental state. Nothing's better than that. Expand your mind and your moral compass.
You know, that's good, and we need to have a show on that and let you talk about it on the CNN. But let me get back to this point, Brother McBride. Before you came on, we had the birthright law under the 14th Amendment. And we're talking about how, just like they passed a law making you citizen, they can pass a law
right
to take away your citizenship. You understand? They already practice it when somebody kill you.
Yeah.
They're taking everything away from you. You understand? So, but the point is that that's what we were looking at, the 14th Amendment, that clause, birthright, because of the fact that the Trump administration is trying to get rid of that clause in the Constitution. Yeah. And that's what we started with. Rashi Key does another one, the Enemy Alien Act.
Yeah.
Could you put that up? This act gives the president, if they're at war with your country, that's the omission that was omitted from the Declaration of Independence, about that they use slavery as an argument to justify their war against for their freedom, and it was in the Declaration of Independence. It was an omitted anti-slavery clause, but then they took it out, and that's why, you know, people forget there were a lot of stages of the Holocaust of enslavement. Mostly colonies were doing it before they had the Declaration of Independence, when they became the United States. Then there was the United States, a Holocaust of enslavement. But before that, each colony was ran by international colonizer, Britain, Europeans, Spain, Portuguese, and Jewish Europeans, Germans, and things of this nature that were participating in the Holocaust of enslavement. But I'll get to that later. You can take that one down. I'll go over the Enemy Alien Act, and I'll just read as much as I can. The Alien Enemies Act of 1798 is a wartime authority that allows the president to detain or deport the natives and citizens of an enemy nation. The law permits the president to target these immigrants without a hearing and based only on their country of birth or citizenship. And that's enough to read that. That's what the Trump administration is using to deport people. Say that he can do it without a hearing. And he's going on that. But they're not at war with these countries.
Right.
You understand? Only Congress can declare war. Yeah. And so that's why they're challenging him. But he don't care. And nobody's stopping him from sending people back who just ordinary people. You understand? And we have to be cautious of that possibility. He already suspended all the visas and for the Sudanese people and Haitian people, work visas and green cards. He suspended all of that. And he's going to start, and he already said he wants to send people born here out the country and deport them back to wherever they can go. And Rwanda is already, he's negotiating with an African country to build prisons. And, you know, you don't, and under the King Alfred plan, which came out in the 60s, you can just turn a school into a prison. You know, you can turn any plot of land and build barbed wire fences and put it in tents. And that's what they call concentration camps. I mean, you don't need no brick walls and cell, especially if you're doing it without trials and without due process. You see what I'm saying? And what they're saying is, under the Enemy Alien Act, Alien Enemies Act, you don't have due process. You understand? And so our people must, as naive, we must educate people to the reality. They don't think, invocation of the Alien Enemy Act regarding the invasion of the United States by the Trinity Rebels. Even the proclamation. You can read it, look it up. But the point is that they're doing it already. And it's very important for you to see that they're sending citizens back already. And it's not just Latinos. You understand? I just want y'all to be aware that they're sending people from Belize and from Haiti's and from other African countries. They're deporting people who they say don't have citizenship here or came here and didn't come through the immigration process. And they're keeping it quiet. And it's not making because they're not focusing on it. But it could happen to your kids. I mean, it could happen to anybody. You understand? You can leave this country and then they won't let you back in. Even though you went on a vacation. You understand? There was some brothers that went to Uganda. We're going to have Dr. Sinsalo talk about this. They went to Uganda and they were from the United States, were born here and everything. They had their passport and everything. And people told them, you better get back before Trump take office. Many of them didn't. They went to the airport and they would not let them leave the country. That's going on right now. You understand? Dr. Sinsalo is going to talk about it. Second, they've suspended medication for HIV in Africa. And people are dying, kids and babies, right now. Because they're saying that they don't want to spend that kind of money on humanitarian services anymore worldwide, which they was giving the medicine to the people free to stop the spread of the disease. But if you're not letting nobody out them countries, and you ain't letting them, and you ain't giving them the medicine, you ain't worried about them coming here. if you say you can't come here, even I think you get the picture. So we got that. Look at this. The second thing that we got to take heed of, this whole concept of democracy, of what they call due process, and education, colonialization of education, wiping out, taking over the Smithsonian Museum, and wiping all that out, and wiping all, taking down historical fact. Trump said he's going to bring back Columbus Day, and the people say it never left. You know, they're still celebrating it. And he's talking about he's going to bring it back. Why? He's just saying, I'm telling you, white folks, it's our turn to exert our power and rule it the white right way, the right white way. So those are some dynamics that we got to look at. And education, preparation, you understand? For yourselves, you understand, as a person, I'm not asking you, saying that you prepare the way you think you need to prepare for things that you don't think, for the unexpected. You know, you don't think things are happening, and the next thing you know, they're happening. No, them brothers on the continent didn't think that the Holocaust and slavery was ever going to happen. They were happy where they were doing their thing. And then all of a sudden, bam, you understand? Same thing here. People don't think, it's just like all of a sudden you got cancer. You understand? And you never smoke. Life is short. Phenomenons happen. Me and Roshki was talking the other day. White man said people die of natural causes. Well, he's saying, I don't know how they died. But he had to come up with an answer. Because he wants to be the one that you know he know everything. So he created a whole category of death, natural death. I mean, that's insane. Ain't nothing natural about dying. You understand? That's an ultimate. We all gonna do that. Like, so. I mean, that's where this is.
You know, when it was wrong, he's like, okay, well, that was a natural death.
Yeah. I don't know how people did. They just died. That's nature. And so, but there was a reason the person died. He just didn't know it. But because he wants to be the one that you think know everything, he has to come up with categories of definition. And that's why you have to have their own language. Your own, you know English, but change that stuff around and get it where it's free your mind and you see reality. Yeah, like I said, the basis of knowledge is truth. And the basis of truth is more knowledge. Knowledge is infinite, just like lies are. You understand? But, you know, you try to get that together. So we're in the best place to struggle for others and for the world, because we're in the belly of the beast. And that's why we're such a dangerous people. And as he was saying, they criminalize all your leaders, as much as they can. But there's some knowledgeable people that you can sit up under and learn a lot from. You know, how to raise your family, how to be a better man, how to be a better woman, how to be a better person, and how to live within the system. Like Mashinda, he knows the system. He knows how to get around it. He's in the deep side. But he's prospering because he knows how to get around white folk and get around all the barriers they didn't set up and act like their hands is clean. And so that's why he can live peaceful and try to teach others that. And that's a beautiful thing. Some will learn, some will don't, just like you, Rasha Key, when you're teaching your math. Some learn, some don't. Some don't want to learn. Some don't think they need to learn. But, what can you do? You understand? You ain't going to stop teaching because they don't. You can't just beat it in them. So you just keep on moving with those that are accepted. But Rasha Key, next Tuesday, I think Brother Thibidi's going to be on talking about his projects and animation of how to teach people consciousness through his company, in which he'll be talking about that. What about you tomorrow?
No show tomorrow.
Okay.
The guest wasn't able to make it due to traveling.
Okay.
So not gonna be a show tomorrow. We have on Saturday, we have Message to the Black Diaspora. And let me share that so people can see it. Right. Give me a second here. Here we go. So here we go. We have, matter of fact, next week on Wednesday, we have one of my grandnieces, and we're gonna interview her. She's an eighth grader, about to go to the ninth grade, about to go to high school. Straight A student. And she's a part of a dance group that's been on national TV, and they're from Compton. Mm-hmm. And it's a real, real good group that they have, that they've been in many competitions and they do real well. So she'll share all of that information with us once we interview her on Wednesday of next week. But on Saturday, we have Mama One Africa, Amicus and Zinga Okofu. She resides in Rwanda, and she's the founder of One Africa that was in Ghana. It's not in operation anymore, but she's well known in Africa and in the United States. And so that should be a real good show. She's a real great personality, And we're going to talk about repatriation.
What time is that?
Saturday morning at 10 a.m. And I will be there at 9:30 waiting for people to come. That's May 3rd, Saturday, 10 a.m. Pacific time. And so she'll be tuning in from Rwanda on the continent of Africa. Okay. So that's what we have coming up.
From what country she's gonna be from?
She's from New York, and she lives in Rwanda. So she's gonna be tuning in from Rwanda.
Okay.
So that's what we have going.
Okay, that's good. Okay then.
We're gonna take our pause.
Yeah.
All right, each one teach one in Conscious Corner. Everybody continue their good day or great day.